This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you have, and all of that is wrapped in with the liver, because it goes back to me saying a lot of times the liver gets backed up because of the gallbladder. So if you have poor stomach digestion, you don't digest the hydrochloric acid, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach, which is there to digest your proteins, then that's going to cause you gas and bloating immediately after a meal. But that's also going to tell your gallbladder to work, not to work. And then that chain is going to tell your pancreas not to work. Either one of those two in and of themselves can also cause gas and bloating, but the gallbladder will also back up the liver. Okay, so if we have so by that time, now you have a backup of a system that does 500 different things. So an overall sense of bloating can be liver. In fact, and one of the more pathological things, which I do see for some reason, is people coming in here with like swollen ankles. Or swelling or edema in their feet or their lower legs, or sometimes even up in their higher legs. That can be a more serious liver problem. For some reason, I do see that occasionally. For some reason, that gets passed off, maybe because there's so many things that can cause swelling in the ankles. But that can be a liver issue, because when things back up in the liver, they back up. The whole system backs up. And so it backs up into your bloodstream, it backs up, you know, into your kidneys, it backs up, and then it's not going anywhere, the fluids aren't going anywhere, and the next thing you know, gravity brings those fluids down to your legs. Bodily swelling for no reason at all, that's basically the same thing that I just got done talking about with the backup. Hormonal imbalances, I think we've already talked about that a little bit. It's really more female hormone imbalances. And again, the liver is the main organ that detoxes your hormones. And a little review, hormones are supposed to be made. They're supposed to go to your cells and get used. They're supposed to go through the liver, the intestine, or the gallbladder, and the intestines. And then they're supposed to find their way into the toilet. The unused estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is supposed to find its way into a toilet. It's not supposed to be sitting around in your fat cells or getting backed up into other, or just staying in the liver. So if that happens, then you're going to get symptoms of menopause, or you're going to get symptoms of not having a period like our staff member. So when we see hormonal imbalances, is it the liver or is it the female organs? Or is it detoxification or the female organs? So usually we'll go after the liver first for all of those of you who are sitting out there and have hot flashes and are having abnormal periods and heavy bleeding and light bleeding, and just all of those things can be other things that are causing that are causing your ovaries to not work well. One of those other things is the liver. So for cases like that, if somebody comes in here, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or somebody comes in here with any of those types of female issues, we don't even begin to directly address the female issue until we've handled their liver, until we've handled their intestines, until we've handled the blood sugar and essential fatty acids, which doesn't have anything particularly to do with this particular presentation. But those do have to do with hormonal imbalances. So liver is a big part of that. And detoxifying the liver to get all that excess estrogen out of there. If you're taking, oh my God, if you're taking like estrogen therapy, and I don't care whether it's oral or whether it's creams, and creams are like the worst, they cannot be dosed exactly correctly for your system, as you might imagine. Your system's a very delicate system, and usually there's too much. Usually the creams are absorbed into your fat cells and they stay there. The capsules are overdosed, and so the body uses what it can, and then it gunks up the liver, the gallbladder, and a part of your intestines, and then you get all of these hormonal imbalance symptoms. You go to your female doctor and drive her or him nuts because they can't get you properly dosed, and that's the reason for that. Weight gain is when people come in here. Weight gain is a sign that maybe your liver is gunked up. You know, weight gain can be thyroid, it can be blood sugar, it can be adrenals, it can be gut problems, it can be viral infections. There's a number of things that cause weight gain. You'll notice I've already basically probably talked about all of them in some way, shape, or form. When liver detoxification has been popular for as long as they've been writing books about it. I read a book called The Tao, T-A-O, of health, sex, and physiology, and it's the American interpretation of the Chinese emperor's internal medicine guide, which was written 3,500 years ago, and so they talk a lot about detoxification in there, and the way they talk about it sounds like it had already been being done for maybe another 1,000 or 2 years. So it has not been lost upon the human race that detoxifying your liver is a good thing to do. And so because everything seems to pass through the liver can touch everything. Weight gain, we talked about thyroid. If you have a perfectly normal thyroid, if you have a hypothyroid, that slows everything down. It slows those detoxification pathways down. You're not converting thyroid hormones properly there into active hormones, which would allow you to keep the normal metabolism. Now your body metabolism slows down. You're putting on weight. You can't get rid of it. You don't know why. Blood sugar, the liver has a lot to do with blood sugar swings. So you could argue that your blood sugar swings, if I get low, I get irritable, I get shaky, if I don't eat, or if I eat too much and I fall asleep afterwards, that could actually be connected to your liver. Those are blood, high and low, those are low and high blood sugar symptoms. But your liver breaks down most of your other nutrients, particularly your carbohydrates. It breaks it down into triglycerides, and then it's stored into the liver. It breaks it down into primary glucose molecules. Those are stored in liver, and then when you need that blood sugar, when your blood sugar goes low, your pancreas and your adrenal glands work with your brain to tell your liver to give up a little bit of that stored sugar so that you can have sugar getting back into your body and into your brain. The main time I see this happening is in the middle of the night. Those of you who go to sleep, wake up, can't go back to sleep. That waking up and can't go back to sleep is because your blood sugar has dropped in the middle of the night. Your brain, your body knows your brain needs blood sugar, so it tells your adrenal glands to tell your pancreas and your liver to go get working. But specifically, it tells your liver to put a lot of blood sugar out so that you have enough blood sugar for your brain. And if you have enough blood sugar, you don't wake up. If you wake up, it's because that mechanism is waking you up to give you more blood sugar. Sometimes we'll just, same thing as the lady we talked about doing the cleanse and then having her period come back. A lot of times people can't sleep like that. We just detox their liver and all of a sudden they start sleeping. They don't know why. It's because that liver was being sluggish in that mechanism of delivering that blood sugar to them in the middle of the night. So that could be a liver symptom. Weight gain could be a liver symptom in so many ways. And all of them run through the liver. If you have a bad gallbladder and it's gunking up the liver and your hormones are off, that could be weight gain. So weight gain out of nowhere is usually thyroid, but if you have weight gain, it's always wise to go thyroid and liver, blood sugar and liver, gut and liver, and whatever, you know, and virus and liver. So poor bowel function. I think poor bowel function, first, when we have, this is another liver symptom, I think when we have poor bowel function, I don't think liver is the first thing we think of. I think we think of stress is the number one cause of constipation. Hypothyroid is probably the number two cause of constipation. And then when you get down into the actual gastrointestinal tract, we've talked about all this on the previous segments, lack of hydrochloric acid in your stomach, if that's not breaking down your proteins, that's gonna cause poor bowel function. And poor bowel function can be constipation or diarrhea. Okay, so you can have bacteria causing poor bowel function. You can have gallbladder not putting its enzymes out, causing poor bowel function. You can cause pancreatic enzymes. That's one of the first go-tos that people seem to go to when they come in here. They're already taking pancreatic enzymes. But remember, if that whole chain of physiology breaks down, the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, that doesn't break down your protein. And then that sends a hormone to your gallbladder and says, okay, you need to stop working because I'm going to send this food down there that's not digested. And that's actually going to possibly cause you to have inflammation. So the gallbladder stops working. Both of those things tell the pancreas to stop working. Then you're definitely going to, that's a potential to have poor bowel function. And all of that will do what? All that will back up your liver. So basically, when you do a liver cleanse, you clear all of that out. You clear the sludge out of the gallbladder, you clear the liver, you get all of those pathways working. Now really lights me up that the liver is a significant factor in what's going on with that person is if the person has excessively foul smelling sweat. Okay, so maybe it's you, maybe it's people who are just like they got this bad body odor, and you get around that person and you go like, ooh man, what is that? Or and person maybe has had to alter her lifestyle for that. I'm telling you, that is a liver that has not yet reached a stage of pathology. In other words, liver cirrhosis or things of that nature, that liver can be helped, but it takes a lot more than just a basic liver detox. At that point, you really got to get in there and hit each one of the pathways with different herbs, botanicals, supplements, whatever that person particularly uses, homeopathic remedies. You have to get in there, and that liver at that point. Most of the time, the liver here is part of the problem, okay, is kind of part of what I'm trying to say here. You can see it's connected to all of these different things. It has so many tentacles as to how it can affect everything, which is why the liver cleanses have been popular, justifiably so, for thousands of years. But when it gets to this point, the liver is really, really the key. And so you have to go after it aggressively. And now the liver, instead of being part of the whole protocol, the liver becomes the issue. And at that point, to fix the liver, you gotta be pristinely clean. You have to make sure that the person is eating properly. They have no food sensitivities. This is where it really gets into, like, this is a liver problem, but all this other stuff's gotta go. They have to be digesting well so that it doesn't back up the bile duct. Because if you just do the liver cleanse, and if you just do the liver bile, gallbladder cleanse, it's going to work for about a week, or it's going to work for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe the person's foul smelling sweat is going to go from severe to moderate, but it's not going away. So you have a serious clearance problem when you have that foul smelling sweat. But to step back, if you have really foul smelling sweat, that's where it's at. And that's my gauge in a case like that. If I have somebody who's in here and everything's doing better, but they still have that foul-smelling sweat, I know that everything that I did is going to be for naught within a couple of weeks or a month or two, that it's all going to be coming back because that liver and that gallbladder are not clearing. And as you can see, it's connected to everything. I mean, I could go on for hours with all the things it's connected to. If I, in a, in a, I went to one course that was called Mastering Blood Chemistry, and they had sections on, you know, the gallbladder and sections on the stomach and section on, the sections on all these things were, you know, like this, like this. The section on the liver was like this, you know. So fortunately, the liver is pretty, as far as functional medicine goes, by the time people get here, pretty much what I just got done telling you is like the scope and breadth of the liver. And how do you know you have it? A lot of times you'll go to the doctor and they'll run enzymes. I almost forgot this. They'll run enzymes, or not enzymes, they'll run enzymes on you. And those enzymes are in most metabolic panels. And they'll say, oh, your SGOT is fine, and it's so you don't have any liver problems. Meanwhile, you have every single one of these symptoms. Okay, so understand, first of all, it takes a long time for those symptoms to create enough damage for it to show up on the test. And for those of you who've watched all of these videos, you'll see a pattern here. What we're trying to do in functional medicine is get function normal again before it becomes pathology, before it becomes cirrhosis of the liver. So, and what usually happens first is you usually get a fatty liver. So most people know the fatty liver comes from alcohol abuse. Most of the patients here, it comes from blood sugar problems. And it doesn't have to be diabetes. It can be that you have what's called insulin resistance. You're just on the first steps towards diabetes. It could be pre-diabetes, and of course that comes from, maybe it comes from alcohol, but it usually comes from eating a lot of junk, a lot of sugars, a lot of processed foods and processed carbs and all that type of stuff, the standard American diet. And eventually what happens is all that's being turned into fat, and you get what's called a fatty liver. If that fatty liver is not too bad in the eyes of the doctor, because those transaminases, those enzymes that I talked about, are not over 200, then the range for transaminases should be like 10 to 25. If they're, and the doctors don't usually get too lit up on you until it's over 200. And if it's 35, you're developing a fatty liver. And that needs to go. Again, that also takes a little bit more effort to get that fatty liver under control, because you actually have to fix the problem that is causing the fatty liver in addition to the fatty liver. So you're gonna have to change your diet. If you're drinking too much, you're gonna have to stop drinking too much. If there's a kind of a flow of understanding of in our intake forms as to what the types of things might be that are causing that to gunk up. But fatty liver is not a death sentence. It will frequently, if you understand what's going on, it'll frequently go away. The doctors usually won't handle it until your transaminases are over 200. Once they're over 200, you now do kind of have a problem. I don't see a lot of those here. I've seen a handful, and even they have done okay. Okay, but at that point, that's where you start getting into serious liver problems, and maybe it starts getting tender, and maybe it's swollen because it's backing up and those types of things. So from a perspective of, so having said all of that, in the functional medicine world, it is largely about what's called hepatobiliary biotransformation, which is a fancy way of saying it's about detoxing that liver, it's about clearing that liver out. Unless you get into the high fatty acids, fatty liver numbers, or unless you have that foul smelling sweat, most of the time, you know, a good 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 week detox is kind of a good layer. Entry, kind of a good entry protocol for almost everybody out there who is suffering from almost anything and hasn't had any success. The liver detox, there's gentle liver detoxes, there's aggressive liver detoxes. The sicker you are, the gentler you should go. I know it may seem counterintuitive, but usually you're going to do a liver detox, a liver cleanse. everybody's got their products. We have our line of products that we prefer. And I usually warn people, when you do liver cleanse, you're probably not going to feel too good. If you do a fast, you're not going to feel too good, because you're just going to overload that liver with all kinds of toxins, because now your body is allowing that to happen. But even if you do a liver cleanse, you could feel not good for the first, most people, 3 to 5 days. I've had people who haven't felt good for the first 10 days to 2 weeks. If you're doing a liver cleanse and you're not feeling good for more than 10 days, then it might be that there's something else going on. So that's the general. Again, I'm not here to like go into like the whole issue of the liver. I'm here to kind of focus you in on the types of things that you would encounter yourself, and that the functional medicine practitioner should encounter, and how it should fit into that functional medicine model. So for me, we did a big talk last week on gallbladder, and to me, it's interesting, but here it's almost more gallbladder backing up the liver than it is the liver being a bad problem. But frankly, if we treat one, we treat the other one, because they're together. So that's liver and liver gallbladder again. And so next week we're going to be talking about the adrenals. And that'll be kind of fun, because everybody that comes in here knows about the adrenals. Forever it's been about the adrenals.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.